Hi, it's Megan Segura.
And Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This week, we're talking Vanderpump Rules. We have part two of the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's getting crazy.
Yes. And of course, we'll wrap things up with Rose and Thorne. Plus, we have interviews with Tom Sandoval and Melissa Gorga.
And we didn't have an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta this week, but it'll be back next week so we can talk about it then.
Okay, so part two of the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion. Again with Teresa just being, I don't know.
It's the Teresa show.
Jackie, do you think Melissa can control Joe?
No, I think he's like Evan. They're strong-willed and they do what they want to do.
That's your opinion, because she's your best friend.
Okay.
That's your opinion.
Because we're 12 now.
She is, right? You guys hang out all the time.
Yes,
yeah.
We are good friends.
Right.
What
does
that
have to
do with you?
I don't hang out with her. I don't like her.
Obviously.
Okay. Obviously.
This is what I feel. You don't like her because she likes me. Point blank.
No. Thank you.
She's liked
Melissa,
me since she came on the scene. You can't stand it. Why don't you just say it?
Like, she came between like us. Jackie? I don't like that.
Between you and I?
Yes.
How?
Not come
yes.
Between you.
How?
She said
you
something about my husband.
You
and
come
you
between
been.
Us.
No, don't like I don't. It.
I mean, if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, definitely go back because we talked to Jackie Goldschneider and she gave her theory on why Teresa may have been so amped up.
Yeah. And this week, you know, we're seeing a lot more of Teresa and Melissa, whereas last week it was kind of Teresa and Jackie. It was Margaret and Jennifer. But this week we really got into the family stuff again and it was kind of intense.
It makes me so mad because Melissa's talking about how she had seen the medium. The medium said, your dad wants you to know you may have another sister. This is something deeply personal about Melissa for Melissa. And Teresa always finds a way to make something about her. And she did in this case when she was like, well, I think you have a sister here and you should treat me more like a sister.
What's your reaction to Melissa searching for this sister?
She has a sister right here. So.
Wait, you take it as offense to you that I was looking for a sister?
No,
that
I'm not offense to me. I'm just saying you have a sister-in-law here that you should treat more like a sister. And I feel like you don't.
I don't treat you like a sister?
You should be on this side of the couch, not that side.
Well, why don't you tell Andy that? I'm not in charge.
No, I mean, you always seem to side up with other people that are against me.
What are you talking about?
Hello, Jackie.
I'm not against you.
All right, tell me I'm not crazy or this girl just started with me out of nowhere. I'm sitting here talking about my father and my sister.
I'm not
Teresa.
Am I starting with you?
You always start. Why do you do this weird shit?
Saying.
What are you talking about? You have been rejecting Melissa for how many years? It just now got to a good place, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, Melissa talks about it a little bit more in the interview later, but what I thought was interesting is I think when I first heard Teresa say that, I didn't necessarily interpret it as her being kind of like bitchy about it. Like, I really thought maybe she was trying to be like, well, I'm here for you, but like, actions speak louder than words. And I don't think Teresa's really been showing that she has been a good sister to Melissa a lot this season. And I don't think Melissa has received that. So I think Melissa, when she heard Teresa react that way, automatically was like, are you serious? Like, are you coming for me?
I love how she was like, am I crazy or did she just start with me? Okay, I will also say this. Even though they're on a good path, all you have to do is go read Teresa's latest book. Okay, because there are several jabs toward Melissa in it. These two are not ever going to be sisters.
It's so true. I mean, we've seen it season after season. There's always been something. And I feel like, you know, Teresa was maybe getting a big head during this whole reunion, especially after coming off the fight with Jackie, where she was sort of making it seem like, you know, Jackie's just a big fan of the show and she's a stalker or whatever she was saying. So I think at that moment, Teresa's head was already a little bit bigger, which is why she kind of reacted that way. But like you said, she just like turned it around and made it about her. And like, it had nothing to do with her. It had nothing to do with Joe. It had everything to do with just Melissa potentially finding this, you know, long lost sister that she might have. So why even address it? Why even try to make it about you? Just like let Melissa have her moment and just move on from that. But Teresa just had to pipe in.
And of course, we end this reunion with a pretty crazy admission from Teresa, which is that if Joe, her husband, does get deported, she's not going to go with him.
Knowing the history that the two of you have had, you have been so ride or die and so devoted to him.
And I still am.
So if he is deported and goes to Italy, will you go there with him?
I hope that's not a decision I have to make, but to like pick up my children and just move to another country, I don't think that would be good for my children. So no, I probably wouldn't.
Wow. This man is the one and only love of your life. But what you're saying is that you will go your separate ways if this ruling doesn't go your way.
Can you really blame her, though? It's like, it's a really tough situation that she's in, but can you imagine having to uproot your whole life just because of that? Like, I don't think I blame her for it.
No, I mean, and I do know, I got a sneak peek at part three, and so I know we're going to go into it more, but obviously just to hear Teresa talk so openly thus far about it, like, we have not seen that as fans, as Andy said. You know, this is the first time she's really said black and white, no.
Absolutely. I mean, it's also like, it's been such a waiting game for her, and I feel like the closer it gets, the more real it obviously gets, and she's been so busy with her fitness competitions and shooting the show, you know, so she's probably been able to a little bit distract herself from the whole thing, and I think when Andy asks her that question, like, it really becomes so much more real for her, and you can sort of see it kind of shift in her demeanor. Like, it sort of is one of those things where she's like, oh my God, this is a decision I'm going to have to make soon. And, you know, she mentions that it's going into appeals and who knows how long that could be. And she speaks really kindly of her lawyers because it's such a tough situation and it's, there's kids involved and all of this sort of stuff. So it was kind of nice to see her react the way that she did. And it sort of went to show that she knows that everyone's doing everything they can to keep him here. But the reality of the matter is that he may have to leave the country and she's probably not going to go with him.
Yeah. That was, though, another point in the reunion where I was like, Teresa turning the conversation back on herself, which is Melissa talking about how her father died and how even though it was later in life, she was like, I'm realizing I do have daddy issues. And Teresa was like, see, that's why my daughters need their dad.
Right. And
it's so true. But I was also like, give it a minute, Teresa. Like, we're talking about Melissa right now.
It's true. And I actually really appreciated that sort of admission from Melissa, because I feel like, you know, as you grow older and as you start to learn more about yourself and your parents and the things that you've been through, I always like to hear when people are very open about, yeah, I think I have these issues that I didn't even realize before, and now I do. So I liked that she started to talk about it, but you're right. All of a sudden, Teresa was like, yeah, well, that's why my daughters need their father. And it's like, well, that's not what Melissa was saying. That's not what anyone was saying, you know? So, like, there it is again, the Teresa show.
It is her show.
It is her show. I love when she also just, like, gets so fired up and she's just playing with that long ponytail, too. Like, you can just tell when she's getting angry, she reaches right for it. Well, and all that, and we still haven't even seen Danielle come out yet.
It's true. So we have to talk next week about it.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. Danielle's going to come out. I know the rest of the husbands are there, too. So I feel like part three, like, what we've seen so far has already been so great. I can't even imagine how it's going to end.
All right, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
There is so much going on already, and I can't help but feel that there is this dark cloud that's just lingering over everything. Like, even if they're off in the Bahamas and it's sunny and it's like bathing suits and joy and laughter, like, you still can really, really feel, I feel like, Lisa's grief through the whole thing.
Yes, but it's, I feel like it's also not just the grief, right? It's this whole Dorit situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe what you're trying to get at is that I had the thought while I was watching this episode of, has Lisa ever really liked Dorit?
She definitely has, in my opinion, because last season at the reunion, this is a clip that lives on the site. Lisa is basically pleading to the audience, give Dorit another chance. Because Dorit is a very divisive housewife. And I think Lisa was sensing that. This was even when they had sort of a tough season last season, and she was standing up for her. So I do think she loves Dorit, but I think something has shifted with the whole Lucy apple juice situation.
Lucy apple juice. I didn't know her full name until now.
Oh, yeah. That was the name of the first episode.
Oh, my God.
And I will say, Teddy said it best in her blog last week, which is she kind of said, if Lisa Vanderpump is really upset at the idea that Dorit gave this dog to someone else without talking to her, she said, that's fair. Given how much Lisa Vanderpump loves dogs, I get why she would be pissed. The issue is she isn't saying, I'm still pissed. She's saying to Dorit and to everyone else, I don't want to talk about it. I'm over it. But then it's constant jabs toward Dorit and constant meddling, question mark?
No, that's true. And I mean, I think that behavior, we have seen it in the past. And like, to your point that like Lisa has come to Dorit's defense before and then pleading with people like, accept her, you know, I do care about her. Like, I feel like it is part of Lisa's nature to sort of poke fun at people. But I feel like maybe now she's using this dog situation to really unleash how she's always kind of felt about Dorit. Like, maybe it's always been there. And we've seen that in the past with her being like, the only reason I'm friends with you is because I'm friends with your husband. Dorit's like, well, that hurts my feelings. And then Lisa kind of takes it back a little bit later. But like, is this just actually unearthing the real feelings that Lisa has for Dorit? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, a bigger question for you is Lisa Rinna's theory correct that Lisa Vanderpump masterminded this plan and is behind the scenes telling people, okay, we're going to be filming, so make sure to bring out Lucy apple juice and to say the story? That's what Lisa Rinna is intimating.
Right.
And that she's telling Kyle and Teddy, Lisa Vanderpump just used you two to do her dirty work.
Right.
You have to see, like, what part you're playing in this. Because you've had some stuff with Dorit, and so have you. And they gave you that piece of information because she doesn't want to take responsibility for it. She's doling it out so she can go, oh, dear, I don't know what's happening. I want to talk about it. It's not her fault. I don't want to talk about it. She just set you all up. The whole thing was set up to make Dorit look bad. All Lisa Vanderpump wants to do is punish Dorit about the dog. She can't do it, so she had those boys do it.
She doesn't want to get her hands dirty.
For Dorit.
It is like Vanderpump 101, and I know what she's going to say.
Oh, darling, I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. Never my fault. I'm a victim.
I mean, come on.
Well, whether or not that is the case, I am just so grateful for Lisa Rinna and her stirring the pot, because she is just so good at it. Like, the second she comes into their hotel room and she sort of sits down and kind of just like launches right into it, like, will someone tell me what's going on? I'm like, yes, tell Rinna what's going on. Like, this is going to start everything. And I was just waiting for that moment. And as soon as like she like learns about what's going on, like Rinna's like, that's it. Lisa's the mastermind. I figured it out. Like, Lisa has her own theory about what's going on and kind of just like launches right into that. Do I actually think that Vanderpump, you know, went through and masterminded this whole thing? Probably not. I think it's sort of like goes back to John Blizzard, who it was who spoke to Teddy about the situation initially. I think it was probably one of those like little gossipy moments where he was like, you'll never believe like what happened at Vanderpump Dogs, blah, 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 knowing that Teddy knew Dorit and would like be able to sort of like commiserate with him on the situation. Do I think Vanderpump set him up to do that? I don't know.
Here's why I disagree with you.
Ooh.
Teddy said in her blog last week, or it was the week before, she and John aren't actually that good of friends. And she was surprised too when he texted her. Okay. But also, if we just look at the history of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, in season 4, Brandi Glanville told Kyle Richards on that trip they took to Dominican, she said, Lisa Vanderpump put a tabloid in my bag. It was back when there were tabloid rumors that Mauricio was cheating on Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderpump put it in my bag and told me to bring it on this trip, and I didn't. Lisa Vanderpump denied it. Season 6, Lisa Rinna accuses Lisa Vanderpump of kind of masterminding this whole Munchausen's conversation. Season 9, we have the dog.
Wow, you have come with the receipts. I am
impressed.
I'm just
saying, all of these, you know, there's no smoke without fire.
Right. Okay, so going off of that theory then, I could almost see that perhaps Lisa was setting up this situation. Maybe, given what she's going through, she's lost a little bit of that, like, gumption and ability to sort of keep track of everything that's going on. And that's why she keeps being like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Because maybe she lit the match, but, like, now the fire's out of control. And she's like, I don't have the, like, emotional capacity at the moment to, like, keep this going.
Or, as some of the ladies have been hinting at in their blog, she's saying, I don't want to talk about it because she wants to look like she's not getting her hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because that is a pretty big accusation. It's very
conspiracy
theory.
Well, I think, if anything, next week's episode is going to help give us some clarity on the situation because we're going to get the receipts that we saw in the super tease.
Oh, the texts. The texts.
Yes. And it seems like it's going to catch, I think, Teddy in a bit of a lie, maybe. I don't know what it is. Because I remember when we read them, when the teaser first came out, we were trying to figure out who the texts were between, and it sounded like it could be Teddy and Rinna, or, you know, we weren't really sure who it was, maybe Teddy and Kyle.
But now I think it's definitely Teddy and John.
It could, yes, being like, girl, wait till you find out what I heard, you know? So I think maybe you're right, and I think that will actually, yes, you're right, because Ken says, I got the texts from him. So it's definitely going to, I think, open up a whole new can of worms next week, and it'll probably bring a little bit more clarity to the situation. Just all of this talk about Lisa and the way that she's treating everyone, and it sort of sounds a lot like what we were talking about earlier with Teresa and sort of the situation that she's dealing with Joe and the deportation. Like, is it just these two women are pushed to the edge emotionally, and so that they're taking it out on the people around them that perhaps they care about the most?
I mean, I guess if you're suggesting Teresa cares about Melissa the most.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, maybe it's not even care. You know, it's family. So it's sort of like, I think another thing with Teresa, she just can get away with treating Melissa that way because they are related. But I think there's more repercussions for someone like Lisa Vanderpump because Dorit is like a friend and it's like, you know, she knew her through PK. So, you know, taking it out on Dorit is almost like worse than taking it out on a family member because it's sort of like family's family. But like Dorit is sort of like, she really didn't mean anything by this. And Lisa's kind of not letting it go.
Totally.
On a lighter note, I want to talk about Denise Richards because she keeps being almost my favorite part of every episode so far.
She's like the comedic relief and she's kind of the realist. I feel like it was Teddy last season, but it's definitely Denise this season where she's just like, what am I wearing? And like, what are these people showing up to dinner wearing? Like, this is insane.
Oh, you guys look so pretty.
Oh my God, those shorts are so cute.
Thank you.
Hello. Walking into someone's hotel room for drinks, I was just not expecting everyone to be so fancy.
Tequila with nothing else. Sorry, out of the bottle.
I packed the wrong shit. I learned that quickly.
Here's the thing, like, I feel like Denise, given the fact that she's been in the industry for a really long time, like, I kind of did expect her to step it up a little bit. And I granted, you know, she was like, oh, we're having drinks on the patio, like, first night, it's at 10 o'clock, like, nobody's going to be dressed up, but, like, she really did not know what she was getting into, and she shows up in those cute little shorts and, like, a little tank top, which, of course, anyone in their right mind would wear when it's probably, like, 80 degrees there.
No, it's totally appropriate with any other group.
Right.
In any other situation. But then you are comparing it to Erica Jane's 9-foot-long ponytail.
Right.
Which she refers to as a person.
Yeah.
Oh, like, she can get wet. You just wring her out.
It's true. So going back to Denise and just kind of like as we get to know her more, I really appreciated the moment that she did have with Lisa Vanderpump when they went off to get the massages while the rest of the girls were kind of out in the water doing their own thing, having fun on that private island. And we really started to learn more about Denise and her daughter that she adopted, which had just recently kind of come out in the press. I think she had spoken to people about it just a couple weeks ago. So I really like that we're learning more about Denise's personal life, because for so long, I think she was caught up in those tabloid things with her ex-husband and everything. So it's kind of interesting now to see really who she is as a person. And I think she really started to open up to Lisa Vanderpump. And I really liked that.
I like that that's what you were focusing on, because the whole time I was like, Denise Richards looks so GD beautiful right now. She had no makeup on. Her hair's mussed. But I'm just like, I could kiss her. She's so beautiful.
Absolutely. Now, there were a few moments while watching the episode that Danny and I were both kind of like, oh, my God, like, she is gorgeous. Like, coming out of the water, we've seen that from the Super Tease, too. But, like, she really is just a beautiful woman.
Yes.
But I'm really excited that she's sort of getting in the mix. We see her just a little bit at that final dinner starting to get involved in the conversation, because a lot of people at the table, including Camille, don't even know what anyone is talking about. So, like, I liked the moment you mentioned, she's kind of like a, you know, comedic relief, and she like leans over and she's like, what's everyone talking about? Yeah. Camille's like, something with a dog, I don't know. And like, no one, they don't really know. But then towards the end of the conversation, once people start getting a little more upset and whatever, she kind of interjects and is like, well, it sounds like your employee did something wrong, you know? So she starts to sort of get her opinion out there.
This should never child have left anyone's mouth.
Your employee should never have said anything. That I agree with that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think John Blizzard should have said anything.
Absolutely.
I had no idea Teddy would be gossiping.
As she learns more about how these women are and how they treat each other, we're going to see a lot more of her opinion coming out, and I'm excited to see that.
Same.
Megan, we have a lot of things in common. We love The Housewives. We live in New York City. We also both have really good hair.
That's true. Good hair, though, doesn't come without maintenance. You know, not everyone knows this, but I used to be a beauty editor before I found my true calling at Bravo. So I'm pretty picky when it comes to beauty products, specifically hair products. And I am into Function of Beauty. Their shampoos and conditioners are customizable to meet your specific hair needs and goals. While most brands only address single concerns like volume or frizz or shine, Function of Beauty formulates every bottle for you based on your hair type and hair preference. So you can select what color you want your shampoo and conditioner. I chose teal to go with my bathroom color palette. Fragrance, I went with eucalyptus because I like a nice clean smell. And up to 5 hair goals. You can also choose dye-free and fragrance-free options if that's what you prefer. This means a lot to me. It's 100% vegan and cruelty-free, so no testing on animals. So I got the shampoo and conditioner specifically formulated for color-treated and wavy hair, and I've honestly been super happy with the results. And I think my hair looks pretty damn good. Right, Eric?
I agree.
It was so customizable, they even printed my name on the bottle. Function of Beauty is also a lot more affordable than other brands. It costs 40% less per ounce than salon-leading shampoos and conditioners. And now, you guys can get 20% off your first custom formula. All you have to do is head to functionofbeauty.com and take a 2-minute quick hair profile quiz to design your unique shampoo and conditioner formulas. Use code DISH at checkout for 20% off your first order at functionofbeauty.com. That's DISH at functionofbeauty.com.
Okay, now let's get into Vanderpump Rules.
So this episode, I feel like we finally got to learn more about this Carter and Kristen situation, because Stassi told us last episode, Carter's not so great. He doesn't pay for anything, and he's terrible to Kristen. And now we get Kristen talking about it with Stassi.
Well, you do all the work in the relationship, and it's the same pattern of like...
Yes, it is. Every single morning when he's screaming at me, because he's not a f***ing morning person. He doesn't want to walk the dogs, and I'm a bitch.
But Kristen, you don't need to be screamed at every day.
No
shit. And I learned now that you don't actually have to be screamed at ever. Like, you don't. Like, you can be in a relationship where somebody just loves you and wants to be around you and is happy all the time to be around you and lifts you up and supports you and doesn't demand that you pay for everything, doesn't demand that you take care of everything. There is a relationship out there for you that you deserve. Behind Kristen's crazy nature is one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. And I just feel like she deserves to be with somebody who appreciates that about her and gives her that love back. I feel like Kristen doesn't feel like she's lovable, and that really breaks my heart. It is so hard for me to watch this because I was in that relationship and I learned that the hard way.
It's hard. It's sad. It's shitty. It's just like I feel the need to defend it because it's not shitty. all the time. Like, I just want things to be good again.
It's like I have a teenage son playing video games in my basement sometimes. And I don't think Carter's trying hard enough because he knows he has a bed to sleep in at night and an apartment to wake up in the morning, and a girlfriend is going to take care of him.
You should wake up and have someone be so excited to be around you. I'm excited to be around you.
I really loved that Kristen started to open up, and I thought that everything Stassi was saying to her was so important, and she was obviously coming from a place of experience, and you could tell just in the way Stassi's voice was and like the way she was expressing it that like she was really trying to drill it into Kristen, like, you deserve better, like, you can get better, like, I know what it feels like to be with someone who doesn't treat you well or says that, you know, or they don't pull their weight or whatever it was. And it was just, I think, a really beautiful moment that like two friends need to have sometimes, especially if they see someone that they care about in a relationship that feels unhealthy.
There's this show on Netflix everyone should watch. It's called Dating Around. And in this episode, this woman's on a blind date and the person is like, well, what went wrong in your last relationship? And she says, at the end of the day, I was just asking this person to be kind to me and he couldn't. And it was just
that makes me want to cry.
I know. But it's so true in this instance. Like, what they're talking about is you just need someone who's going to be nice to you and makes you feel like they want you around, which Stassi clearly has found in Beau.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, Stassi has seen the light with Beau and she's like, oh my God, right. This is what it means to be in a nurturing, healthy relationship with someone who's going to lift you up and not bring you down and not wake up in the morning and be instantly aggravated with you because, like, what's walking the dogs or something that Kristen talks about. So, you know, I really love that moment. And I hope that we see Kristen kind of like come out of this relationship a stronger person, if it's even ending. We don't even really know where this relationship is going at this point in the season, so I'm curious to see how it ends up.
Well, and if we've learned anything from watching Kristen's other relationships on Vanderpump Rules, she does a slow burn breakup. It's not going to be swift and quick.
It's very true. It's going to be messy. But I wonder if, like, you know, she starts to recognize what she deserves, if her animosity towards James will go away, if, you know, her relationship with Carter will get better. I think it starts with, like, Kristen on the inside, too. And whether these guys are involved or not is sort of a little bit up to her.
But weren't you confused when we're at this party in Santa Monica that Carter seems pretty, I don't know, not... It's like we've been hearing about this person that Stassi and everyone else is describing, and that's not really who I'm seeing. He's not saying anything outlandish.
It's true. I wonder what we're not seeing when the cameras aren't there. But you guys will also hear later on that Tom Sandoval talks about, like, I like Carter. He's a good guy. You know, I can't speak to certain things. But so you're right. We're not really seeing a lot of the issues that perhaps Kristen and Carter are having. But I do get a vibe of him that's a little bit, like, passive-aggressive, maybe not super mature, you know? And I think at a certain point, he might not even think that he's behaving a certain way because perhaps Kristen lets him get away with it, you know? And I think he, I don't know, maybe he is just kind of sitting around and playing video games all day, and she's like, can you walk the dog? And he's like, no. But, like, when he's out in public, he might be putting on a different front than when it's just the two of them at home. I don't know. It's hard because we haven't really seen that.
My issues are that you bark at me and that you raise your voice and that you cuss. And I've said this in couples therapy. I've said this to you. It's just the, like, the shortness and the whatever. It's like, dude,
I'm sorry.
Or telling me things you don't like about me.
Honey, you come home and the first thing that you do is basically bitch at me for about 20, 30 minutes about something that happened about your day.
When I'm having a bad day, you're my boyfriend.
You have a lot of bad days.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
A lot, a lot.
We're going to disagree on
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
But you're not.
That's what we do. As soon as you accept that fact, then that's how it's going to work.
Didn't Kristen just tell me that everything has been great and they haven't been fighting?
So it's like your way or the highway, and that's not how it works, especially when I'm running most of the shit.
I think either way, it's not a great sign that you're sitting at a friend's party having these issues, like hashing them out.
Definitely not. That's like not where those conversations should be happening. But I mean, you know, at least other people were witness to it, so that if at some point, you know, later on in the party, Kristen gets upset, like Katie knows why, like Katie saw that conversation happening. So you never know what direction Kristen could go. So at least somebody has a little context as to what unfolded that day.
And of course, the most shocking relationship news was Lala and Rand breaking up.
I got home and I just feel like Rand and I are not the same. And I basically gave up alcohol for him because it was like, the way I was acting was just not okay. And then I come home to what he's doing. It's like, that.
Yeah.
I came home from Solvang and saw Randall had partied to the point where he doesn't even know his own name. You're slurring your f***ing words. That doesn't work for Lala. Especially when I'm up in Solvang with wine. And I'm not drinking any of it for you.
I'm not going to drink.
Can I just do water, please?
Yeah.
But I'm not drinking. And this is what you're doing? Are you kidding me?
I feel betrayed because we made a pact. This is a hard time for me, and I need my partner, I need my soulmate, and I need someone to back me up.
He claims that it's because I've been very, very, very unloving and harsh the past week.
Well, I felt really bad for Lala at the very beginning of the episode because, you know, we were talking earlier on Beverly Hills dealing with grief. Like, you really saw how it's affecting Lala as well, and that it's sort of one of those things where it kind of just hits you at different times, you know? Like, one minute Lala's like, yes, girls trip, like, here we go, PJ, yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, when she's there on this trip, like, something will just happen and it will sort of trigger that grief for her. And we really saw her open up and kind of talk about that. So she's already going through a lot when it comes to, you know, losing her father. And then when she gets back from the trip, she finds Rand in this whole, like, post-party situation where she's like, well, wait a minute, like, I thought we were in this together.
Okay. It's weird because, I mean, she really went in on him in a way. I mean, really detailing what happened, because up to this point, he's been perfect, right? According to her. So to hear that not only was he wasted beyond measure when she got home, but as soon as she said, I can't do this anymore, he took, you know, Gucci slides that he gave her, which is just the most petty, immature thing.
He kept my Gucci slides, like, took them from me and was like, I want you to remember. You want my f***ing Gucci slides? Take them. Take them.
And now, in real time, we know they're engaged. It's like why you don't tell your mom really bad things about an ex in case you get back together.
Right.
So it's like now you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
It's very true.
We know what he can be like when he's not nice.
You know, Lala mentions that, like, he sort of blames Lala and the way she had behaved the past week for, like, well, this is why I partied, you know, because you were behaving this way, so I went and got wasted. And it's sort of like, that's not a very mature perspective to have. And then to also take away the Gucci slippers or whatever it was, like, come on.
Lame.
Lame. And then, you know, I think maybe it's just a little bit that the both of them are not the most mature, because I don't know if Lala was saying it just out of, like, anger in the moment because it was a fresh breakup. But when she's sort of like, listen, I can go suck some other dick for a flight on a private jet if I want to, I was sort of like, ooh.
Guess what, honey? There's a lot of dick out there for me to suck to get on a PJ. I'm just letting you know. Like, no matter what, I can still live that way.
Yeah.
You just need to have a mouth, baby. It doesn't matter what you look like.
Well, that leads into my rose, but I'm going to save it.
Okay, good.
I don't think she actually means, but you're right. In anger, you just say a lot of things.
Well, speaking of anger, we get the mid-season tease also this week, and there is a lot going on with, I guess, Tom Sandoval and Katie.
Yes. So we asked Tom Sandoval about that feud with Katie, as well as, you know, how Tom's going, what's happening in his life. A lot of good things. And basically, all his thoughts on the drama thus far. Okay, everyone, we're here with Tom Sandoval. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. How does it feel to have the best bar in LA?
Feels amazing. It's
It's been a heck of a week. We did a Family Feud on Sunday.
What?
Yeah, we did Celebrity Family Feud against John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. And then it was Kyle Chan's birthday party, which is always a big, big deal. And then we closed on our house, got the keys to our house on Wednesday. And then Thursday went to an award ceremony. For the best bar in LA, got an award, and then, you know, my brother's visiting, and we're here in New York. We just saw Hamilton last night.
So basically, there is like nothing crazy in your life that is going wrong right now.
I mean, I can't complain.
Well, then what's next for you guys?
I don't know. You know, we got to furnish the house. You know, we pretty much have a mattress and you know, a TV and a couch, and that's pretty much it.
That's a start.
Yeah. I don't want to bring any of my stuff from the apartment in there.
Right.
Because I've had it for so long. It's like, you know.
Fresh start.
Yeah.
Where is the apartment? Or the house, sorry.
The house is in Valley Village.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're coming from West Hollywood. So it's, you know, it's like 15, 20 minute drive to TomTom, mm-hmm. roughly.
So you're a Valley guy now.
I'm a Valley guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we going to see a farewell to the apartment, though? As fans, we've spent so much time
in
there with you.
Yeah, actually, I'm definitely going to have a couple farewell parties for sure. And, you know, Jeremy is actually staying there.
Oh, that's so awesome. Keeping it in the family.
It helps with my separation anxiety.
Right.
You know, I can still knowing that I can go there. Yeah.
So this season has been amazing, but we just watched the mid-season Super Tease and were blown away. You have sort of an epic, I don't know, showdown with Katie?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty intense. Wow, yeah. I think we, you know, there were just feelings that were kind of like building, you know, emotions kind of building up, and, you know, it's what happens. That's what happens on Vanderpump Rules.
Okay, well, I want to give you a chance to maybe defend yourself if you want, because people are going to say, you know, how could he not support Katie in that moment?
Well, look, I don't have any of my friends' backs unconditionally, and I don't expect them to have my back unconditionally. I love Katie. I love Schwartz. I love all my friends. But, you know, that's the thing with when you love somebody is that, you know, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference, you know, so You can't be truly angry at somebody, I feel like, emotionally, you know, if you don't love them in a sense, you know. And that's, I feel like, one of the biggest things about our show is that we know each other so well. So, like, when things get a little crazy, they get really crazy.
What was it that triggered the argument?
I don't exactly know, because a lot happens when we're filming. And that was a little while ago, and I haven't seen it yet. But I'm sure there was something said or whatever, and It was a conversation that needed to be had, and I felt like it needed to be had way before it did, because it kind of built up in my mind. And mm-hmm. So by that point, I was like, I just had a lot of frustration built up when I should have just nipped it in the butt right away, I feel like.
Did it have anything to do with James?
Yeah. I mean, that was part of it. You know, I mean, obviously, you're going to see it when it comes on. I don't want to spoil everything. But, yeah, it definitely had to do with James. It had to do with other things and things that have happened in the past that I feel like I didn't bring up, you know.
You do seem totally supportive of James. I mean, do you feel like he's still on a good path right now?
Well, you know what's funny about James that I've noticed is, yes, he's messed up a lot of times, but he also apologizes a lot. So it's like, you know, everybody, there's times where everybody, I feel like, is screwing up on a regular basis, but the difference is they don't apologize as often. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think James, he's great TV. Let's put it that way. But he, you know, he gets very triggered and he loses control of his emotions and he gives people that power a lot. And I feel like he really needs to work on that. You know, you're allowing somebody to get you to that point that's actually negatively affecting your life. You know, Kristen was like really good at it, even when they were together. I mean, which, by the way, that was like the most toxic relationship on the planet. Them two together was like literally the perfect storm. Like, oh my gosh. But, you know, she would get banned from Pump and Sir like when they were together, because she would show up and it was like a trigger for him. And right. Then, you know, it caused a scene.
Well, we have been discussing this a lot. What is it about James, do you think, that makes Kristen still so crazy?
You know, I'm not in Kristen's head, so I don't know, but I mean, it seems like at times, I mean, obviously time has passed since the season and maybe she's in a different space. You know, I think Kristen over the years has come a long way since, you know, from where she was before. But I don't know. It seems weird to me. Like, usually when people get that worked up, it's because they've recently broken up. But they've been broken up for like 2 years or something, or like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. I don't get it.
Is it weird for you to see Kristen and Ariana chummy now?
It's kind of surreal. I mean, I never thought that would – I didn't think that would ever happen. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, they are pretty chummy. They're like – they text each other. They like hang out.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. It's so weird.
So it's not just because like they're forced because of a group situation.
No,
like,
they
like each other.
Yeah, they actually like each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like they've both come a long way, you know? Yeah.
Well, speaking of Kristen, are you close with Carter?
Yeah, I think Carter is awesome. He's a really cool guy. We went snowboarding about a month ago together, had a blast. But yeah, I think he's a great guy. I think he's really good for Kristen, you know. I don't know some of this, you know, I don't pry too deep. So I don't know everything going on. I mean, I know they've hit some rough spots or whatever, but I like them together. I think they're great together, and I wish nothing but the best for them.
Yeah. So we're getting closer and closer to Jax and Brittany's wedding.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
I feel great about it. I hadn't, you know, it was funny. It's not that I, like, question, you know, his love for her or anything. I hadn't talked to him. You know, he's one of my best friends. I hadn't really talked to him about it. And then literally we're meeting up with, you know, him at Kyle Chan's, you know, office. And he's like, yeah, I'm doing this tomorrow. And I was like, what? Like, I just was... And I didn't know, you know, obviously Jax went through a lot when his dad passed away, and I didn't know if maybe, you know, some of the decisions he was making were maybe based off, like, something emotionally, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to talk to him and just, you know, make sure that his head and heart was in the right place. And I feel that it definitely is, you know? I feel like his priorities have changed. He values his friendships more. He values his relationship more, which back in the day he would almost consider, like, expendable.
Yeah.
Well, no. We saw how boys' night went. Are there plans for a bachelor party?
Well, the funny thing is, I feel like there's a lot of pressure, actually. A lot of pressure to deliver. But on one hand, I feel like Jax's entire life has been his bachelor party.
Oh, that's
so
true.
I mean, like, I feel like we could maybe use, like, a little, like, you know, quiet time for him. You know?
Spa day.
Something relaxing. You know, maybe some sort of... So I think bachelor parties should have some sort of adventure or activity that's like brings the group together. So I'm trying to figure that one out.
What about Solvang?
Solvang, there you go.
Right?
Just go to Solvang. No, Jack said something. I don't know exactly where we're going. He had mentioned a couple places. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you guys like are changing so much. You're going through this period of life where all these big moments are happening for you. Do you ever internally worry, is this going to be interesting for people?
I do, actually. But I find that, I mean, every season of our show, I'm like, wow, there's no way we're going to be able to top that. There's no way we're going to be able to top that. And every year we come back, and it's like always a good season. I feel like one is better than the next, you know? I'm not really too worried. Not with this group.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is amazing. Like, this season is so interesting and good. And I just, as a fan, we can't get enough. So
that's awesome. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's been one of the weirdest things adjusting to is, well, I guess initially with being on a show like this is how, you know, interested people are in, like, all your, I feel, some mundane details. You know what I mean?
Like what?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of anything. That's too much pressure. I can't think of anything offhand, but, you know.
If you could go back and say something to, like, your season one self, what would you say?
I think I would say, you know, when we first, I think I would say just relax, be honest, be open, and be involved, you know. Yeah.
Did you ever imagine you'd be here where you are with TomTom and everything that's going on?
No. I mean, I hoped. I always hoped. I'm like, one day, Adrian, I'm going to get a house, do this, But, you know, when it actually happens, it's just we always take time to just sit back and just reflect and you know, appreciate where we're at in life. You know, all I feel like all of us do on the cast. You know, you never take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Are you guys involved at all with Lisa Vanderpump's Cocktail Garden?
No, that's her own thing.
Okay.
That's her and Caesar's Palace partnership. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it, though. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's supposed to be opening soon.
Yeah.
Do you feel now like you guys are on a similar playing field?
No. I'm sure she would say the same thing. I mean, obviously, she's older than me. She's had way more time to get to where she's at. And, you know, she's very successful. And her and Ken are, you know, obviously, you know, amazing business, you know, people, philanthropists, you know. But I see myself on that route. You know, I look up to them a lot, and I would love to be where they're at. So I'm continuing to move forward, and we'll probably have some more TomTom locations.
Really?
Yeah.
You think you'd leave L.A. too? Open?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. In fact, there'll be, you know, you'll probably be hearing something soon about that.
Ooh. I hope it's New York.
He is here.
I'll give you a hint. You never forget where you came from. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, interesting.
Thank you so much. Nice. This was great.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Megan, I know you get annoyed every morning when I text you asking what I should wear to work, but...
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's just because you always look so stylish, and I like when we coordinate.
Oh, stop. I mean, I am pretty stylish, but sometimes I want to be comfortable, too. And the good news is that with Beta Brand, comfy and work appropriate go hand in hand. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants feature comfortable styles that are appropriate for the office. They have options for all sizes, shapes, and tastes, including skinny, boot cut, cropped, and more. So you can go with a variety of options in your closet. Hey, and they also have pockets, which is a plus. So I chose the skinny, and I couldn't believe how comfortable they were. Compared to other jeans, which are tight and restricting, these are perfect for, I don't know, long hours on a plane ride. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants make your days more stylish and your mornings a lot easier. Daily Dish listeners can go to betabrand.com/dish to get 20% off a pair. That's BETABRAND.com/dish to get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants.
We also spoke with Melissa Gorga, fresh off of part 2 of the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion as well. So we talked to her a little bit about where she and Teresa stand today, where she stands with the rest of the girls, plus how the family is coping with Joe's potential deportation. So here's that interview. So we are here with Melissa Gorga from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hey.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. I got my Sour Patch Kids. I'm like, you know, ready to go.
You're ready to go. All right. Well, another season down, another reunion. Part 1 was a lot of Margaret and Jennifer, Teresa and Jackie. And then part 2, you and Teresa got into it about the sister situation.
Yeah, we do.
So what do you think she meant what she said when she was sort of like, what do you think she meant by her reaction?
I don't know. I'm still freaking confused about it, to be honest. It definitely took me back a little bit. I was in shock over like a lot of the things she said because I had just seen her a couple days before and we were fine and we had dinner together. So I was very taken back, and I have to say I was a little insulted because I feel like we've come so far. So if you're going to like sucker punch me or sideswipe me, like give me a heads up at this point.
Well, earlier in the season, we saw you and Joe and Teresa kind of sit down and sort of like come to terms and like sort of move past it a little bit. So what do you think has changed since then?
I don't know. My guess is as good as yours.
Like, do you think it's Jackie?
I do think that she is annoyed that I see Jackie's side more than I see her side with this, or that I'm even defending Jackie a little bit. But I'm so sick of the double standard because Teresa defends Danielle on everything she does. Teresa defended Jennifer when she threatened me and broke a glass in front of my face. So if I defend and try to explain what Jackie meant by something she was saying, I'm going to do that. I am no longer going to sit back and be like, okay, well, I don't want to insult nobody. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak my truth. That's how I felt. If Jackie was wrong, I would say, Jackie, you're wrong, even though I love Jackie. So that's how I felt. I didn't see Teresa, like, you know, screaming at Jennifer saying, don't threaten my sister-in-law. Like, she didn't do that.
Right.
So I'm just sick of the double standards, and I'm just not here for it anymore. And everyone's just going to have to deal with the new Melissa because I'm really freaking sick of it all.
The new Melissa. So where do you guys stand right now? I mean, how are things at the moment?
We're fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There was a little tension after the reunion. I just was like, leave me alone. I don't want to speak for like a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, I get annoyed. I'm like, I'm insulted. I was a little insulted. I'm like, we're family, man. If you had like something going on and you wanted to talk about it, like, why did you wait till we sat right on the couch next to Andy? Like, even Andy looked confused. He was looking at me cross-eyed. He's like, what's happening here? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, right. It's like everybody was confused, which I didn't like because I'm like, we've come so far. Like, don't sucker punch me. Come on, like, you little sneak.
Right.
I didn't like that.
So we're coming towards the end of a really tough road with Joe and Teresa. And right. She admits last night at the reunion that she may not stay with Joe when he's deported.
Right.
How is the family kind of coping with that?
The girls are not. Obviously, the girls are going to be extremely upset. I think that's a given. I think it's known. I think everybody doesn't know the end game right now. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but everybody's praying for the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, of course. So you're looking to perhaps expand your family a little bit. Where are you in the journey of finding your sister?
You know what? I did the 23andMe, and I feel like if it's meant to be, and this girl is out there, she's gonna also do it. And if she thinks it might has an inkling like that my father is her father, she'll do it. She'll do the test and I'll find her, you right. know. If and it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if not, like, I'm not gonna look any further into it other than I did the test. If she happens to catch a glimpse of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, if somebody says to her, hey, that good looking Italian guy that's your daddy is also Melissa Gorga's dad, like, get the test going, and somebody pops up that's my sister, well, then we have, like, a situation. Right.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you put the call
otherwise,
out.
Otherwise, so. I'm not really going to walk around and, like, scream for her on the street.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely, of course. So. Well, we have your 40th birthday coming up
next
month.
Oh, my God,
month.
Did you just say that out loud?
I said it.
Ow, my ears hurt.
Do you have any plans?
Holy sh**. Is that allowed to be said?
That's fine.
Yes, I want to go to Capri.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Have, like, you booked it yet?
Positano. I'm actually booking it this weekend.
Okay.
So Joe basically said, like, I told him that's what I want to do. I just want to be in Positano. I want to go to Italy. And that's what we're doing.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I have to say my favorite moment of the season was you got the wrong f***ing girl.
You got the wrong f***ing girl.
Absolutely. How are things with you and Jennifer now?
They're fine. Listen, she's like, you know, you have to take Jennifer for like what she's worth. She did threaten me, but she was drunk. And I think she's so new to the game and the situation. And like, just like, I don't think she really meant it. But the way she looked at me with those eyes seemed very threatening. And for me, it wasn't like, I didn't even think twice. Like, it was my instant reaction. And that's who I am. Listen, I'm pretty level-headed in most situations, but you're not going to stare me at the eyes and break a glass in front of my face and think I'm not going to come around and try to pull the hair out of your head, because I'm going to try to.
Of course.
You know.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much, Melissa. I know you have to get going, but thank you for coming
thank
in.
Thank you. Thanks,
and we're
guys.
So excited to see the next part of the reunion.
It is so good. This is like the juiciest season ever, I swear.
It's been an amazing season.
So good.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks.
All right, so let's get into Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
This week was special because I have Rose, Thorn, and a question.
Ooh.
But first, what's your rose?
My rose this week is Raquel from Mexican Dynasties, but more specifically, Raquel's beautiful condo that she owns, because it reminded me of Elise Elliott's from First Wives Club, because there were just so many pictures of, like, Raquel everywhere, like, painted Andy Warhol, like, pop art-esque pictures of her everywhere. And plus, she just seems like such a majestic woman, and I feel like her being compared to the, like, Joan Rivers of Mexico, like, I'm just so excited to see what she's going to be like this season.
I'm glad you brought up Mexican Dynasties, because honestly, it may be my favorite new show in a long time.
Wow.
I love this show. It's just so fresh and new. You guys have to watch it. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely.
It's really good.
So if you guys haven't heard of Mexican Dynasties, it's airing after Real Housewives of Beverly Hills every Tuesday at 10/9 Central. So check it out. So what is your rose?
So going back to Vanderpump Rules and Lala saying, you know, there's plenty of other dick out there for me to suck. Then Brittany gives this great one-liner.
That probably wouldn't have been where my head went at first, but at least Lala's optimistic about the future.
She says it in like this really drawl, like,
right, Brittany so way.
What's your thorn?
My thorn this week is when Andy asks Jennifer at the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion, have you had sex with somebody before Bill? And she sort of pleads the fifth and doesn't really answer. And I understand her answer where she's sort of like, well, I don't think that's appropriate to say because I'm married and like, I'm not going to answer that. And everyone's sort of like, okay. And Dolores is like, that's fine. But my issue with that is she has no problem, you know, throwing all this shade at Margaret and Marge Sr. for the affairs that they're having and all of these sort of things. But it's sort of like, okay, but the line is then drawn that you're allowed to have marriage, you know, sex before marriage, but like Marge isn't allowed to do this. So it's just like seeing these funny, you know, blurred lines between where people's like moral standing is.
Especially that she felt comfortable enough to say Bill tried taking his penis out and they dry humped like bunnies.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying.
I guess it's okay to talk about your husband because you're married. So I do understand that. I really do understand where she's coming from and I appreciate that answer of hers, but it's sort of like, then you can't come for other people about their little discrepancies as well. What was your thorn?
So my thorn was in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when Lisa Vanderpump says to Erica, you just wrote me a few lines after my brother died, and I would have expected more.
This is what I wrote to her. Dear Lisa, Tom and I were saddened to hear of your brother Mark's passing. Please know that our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family at this difficult time. Sincere condolences, Erica.
It is always important to have an insurance policy when you're dealing with someone that's slippery.
Erica, you didn't send me a text. I'm broken-hearted.
I'm sorry about Pink Dog Day.
That's why I took a picture of the note. I knew it was going to be an issue.
Bitch, you come with receipts.
I'm married to a lawyer, dude.
Wow.
I could not believe it because here's the thing. When you see someone going through a loss, inside, I'm sure you have felt this sort of panic of like, how am I supposed to react in this moment? Because everyone's different, right? So you don't know if you need to be there up in someone's face, like letting them know you're there for them, or if you should just be aware but distant. And it totally confirmed my greatest fear that like someone is judging me when I'm trying to navigate how to help them, you know?
Absolutely. I really was so uncomfortable with that whole situation, and that conversation was really hard to watch because I was very much on Erica's side because I feel like what she did, she felt like was just enough and was like the right thing to do. And like, I don't want to get too much in her space. I don't want to text her. I don't want to call her. Like, I don't, you know, she's probably getting flooded with other people and people are reaching out, you know? So I understand what she was doing. And I think it just was so crazy that she had the receipts too.
Well, and that's the thing, the fact that Erica felt the need to take a photo of that card before she sent it, that speaks volumes. And I don't think she's ever liked Lisa Vanderpump, if I'm being honest, because she said in her first season, I think Lisa Vanderpump is a sniper from the side. And I think she has always purposefully stayed pretty distant from Vanderpump.
Right, right. I mean, they seem to come to a resolution at the end. And I think it's Rinna who says it at one point that like grief affects everyone differently. And I think it was maybe just Lisa trying to be like, I wish you had been there for me. And whether Lisa was right or wrong, I think Erica should have just let her speak her mind and been like, I'm sorry, I did what I thought was right, and kind of just move past it. Because at the end of the day, it's just Lisa's still grieving her brother. But if Lisa has, you know, considers Erica that close of a friend, I think they need to like clear that up between each other, because it doesn't seem like they're super close, but Lisa seems to feel like they are.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I did my rose and thorn, but I have my question.
Okay.
What is a wind boner?
So I thought that was pretty funny when Bo brought that up, because I think he was just trying to be like playful and whatever. And like, that's sort of his sense of humor. I mean, there's not really like a situation, I think, where like altitude affects that. And so it's kind of, maybe that's just like his biology does that. But I do understand, like, you know, if you're wearing pajamas on a plane and you fall asleep, there's no control what could happen when you're asleep, you know? Like, that's the whole thing with, like, that. So I feel like he was more along the lines of, like, a wind boner isn't necessarily, like, happening because you're in an airplane and you're flying at a high altitude. But if you fall asleep on the plane, who's to say what could happen?
congrats. You got through that whole answer without saying penis once.
I know, right? It was like if I was on Watch What Happens and that was like the word of the day or whatever, I totally missed it. This was fun. We didn't get to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta because it was not on, but it'll be back next week. And there's a lot to talk about. This episode is crazy. Can't wait. Bye, guys.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
And then I got my girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, can't.